You'd bow with me. Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that you've set aside for us, all of these times. We pray that we have been a blessing to you, and we ask that through your word, you touch our hearts and give us a blessing so that we can see inside of the character that is you. It's in Yahshua's name I pray. Hallelujah. What was the refrain in that one song? One more time? One more. That was a wonderful song. One more time. Turn with me to Leviticus 23. How's that for a segue? We're going to start with verse 33. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, The 15th day of this 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto Yahweh. On the first day shall be a set-apart convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. 7 days ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh. On the 8th day shall be a set-apart convocation unto you, and ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh. It is a solemn assembly, and ye shall do no servile work therein. These are the feasts of Yahweh, which ye shall proclaim to be set-apart convocations, to offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh, a burnt offering and a meat offering, a sacrifice, a drink offering, everything upon this day. Beside the Sabbaths of Yahweh and beside your gifts and beside all your vows, beside all your free will offerings which ye give unto Yahweh, also in the 15th day of the 7th month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto Yahweh 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the 8th day shall be a Sabbath. Must be important when they repeat things, isn't it? And ye shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees and branches of palm trees and the boughs of thick trees and willows of the brook. And ye shall rejoice before Yahweh your Elohim 7 days. And ye shall keep a feast unto Yahweh 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. Ye shall celebrate in the 7th month. Ye shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am Yahweh your Elohim. How many here have dwelled in booths for the past 7 days? Isn't that wonderful? Booths, tabernacles, temporary dwellings. Yeah. Says here that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths. We were made to dwell in booths by the word of Yahweh. So we must be the children of Israel. Huh. Oh, wait, let's look at Israel. The word Israel, Israel. Isra is a Hebrew word that means straight to. And El is a Hebrew word that refers to Elohim, the mighty one, Yahweh. So the Isra isn't just a straight line. It's in context, it's more like an arrow being shot at a target, and you consider the heart of Yahweh to be the target. So Israel is that, it's us. We just went right to the heart of Yahweh by observing his commanded feasts. Isn't that great? We've given him a blessing. He's given us blessings. Now here we are. There is an eighth day that follows this time that we've seen. The eighth day following the 7 days of the Feast of Sukkot, Tabernacles. This eighth day is called in Hebrew Shemini Atzeret. Shemini means eighth. Wow. And the Atzeret means assembly. That's a little more. It comes from a Hebrew root that's atzer. And atzer, it's more than just an assembly. It's to hold over, to tarry, to pause. It's a time to just slow down. I think using this name, our Elohim is saying, remain with me for an extra day. Just stay here. Don't jump and run. This is an extra day. This is a little more time that we have together. This is a time that we have beyond time. This day will end the yearly cycle, the yearly feast cycle, and will start a new feast cycle if Yahshua tarries. Or it represents a new beginning should he return to claim his bride. This is a time to just set aside and reflect. Look at what we've just been through. Look at the relationships that we've had. Many call this last day, this last high day, the last great day because of John 7:33 to 38. Where it says, Then said Yahshua unto them, yet a little while I am with you, and then go unto him who that sent me. Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me. And where I am, thither ye cannot come. Then said the Yahudim amongst themselves, whither will he go, that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is that, he said, ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Yahshua stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Scripture says on the eighth day, the 22nd day of the seventh month, is described as a solemn assembly. In Hebrew, the Atzeret means assembly, but it's more. Although the Hebrew people then probably didn't know why the assembly was to be solemn. We now know, because of John's writings in Revelation, that this day represents the judgment of the white throne that we can find in chapter 20. Many will not make it into the kingdom, according to Matthew 7:13 and 14, where it says, "Enter ye in the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there will be, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." I've known people that regard the eighth day, the Shemini Atzeret, as a day of packing and cleaning up after the feast. It's a time to break camp and hit the road. This couldn't be further from the truth of the matter. There are others that consider the eighth day of Sukkot, you know, they don't consider it to be separate. It's just the eighth day of Sukkot, the eighth day of Tabernacles. And then they tack on another day called Simchat Torah, the joy of Torah. Oh, that sounds good. But it turns out to just be a ninth day of a feast that is commanded to be two separate feasts, 1 7 days and 1 single day. The Simchat Torah is simply a day to rewind the Torah scroll and restart the Torah portion cycle. I imagine it's hard for us, mankind. Well, I imagine it's hard for some. I don't see that it was hard for us here to keep the commands of Yahweh, but I imagine it's hard for mankind in general to keep his instructions, to follow what the book says. Well, we've already seen this is a solemn assembly today. It's a time set apart, a time to extend our time with our Creator. It's a time beyond time. Let's consider Ecclesiastes 1. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he takes under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also riseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full unto the place from whence the rivers come. Thither they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, that is which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. There is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. There's no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath Elohim given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. I communed with mine own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate, and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart has great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And I gave my heart to know wisdom, and to know madness and folly. I perceived that this also is vexation of spirit, for in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. Solomon spoke of the things that he saw in this world, a very somber view of things that were not to change, just to cycle and repeat. He asked, is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? His view was limited. He could not see back far enough, nor could he see ahead far enough. He would have seen a new time coming, a time when things would be bright and new, a time when Yahweh and his family would be united, a time beyond time. There's a Hebrew word, it's chedem. It's spelled chedem. It's never mind. Chedem is a Hebrew word that means old. It means ancient. There's a term, it's pene chedem, which means they use it for memory. It's those things that we remember. But the word chedem has a bigger meaning. And it's used in several old Jewish prayers from the Jewish Siddur. And many times these prayers end with that word. And this word punctuates a very Eastern way of thinking as compared to our Western mentality. You see, we're schooled in the thoughts of beginnings and ends. You know, we start something and we finish it. The Eastern mentality talks about cycles, talks about how do we regain, how do we go back. And in the context of these prayers, the meaning of this word kadem is for all things to be returned to the former ways. Let's see if I can... The in-depth definition of this word is to make things as though they were to have been in the beginning. And I think that's a lovely concept, that we are to be brought back to the way things were to have been had they not gone afoul. The way things were to have been is a beautiful thought of a time in the garden, walking in the cool of the day with Elohim, full of question and wonder at the universe and all there was to offer. There was a time like that, and there will be again. That is a time beyond time. This time that we have to tarry with our Elohim is a great time to speak with him. and praise Him and reestablish our commitment to Him and our relationship with Him. A time for what is to be. A time for looking forward. A time to look at each other in the hope that we will all be united in the world to come. That world is from a time past. It's a time beyond time. What's this place going to look like? What will be in store for us there? Let's look at Revelation 20, starting with verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before Elohim. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I believe when we take breath for the first time, we're written into the book of life. Our choices, our behaviors, our works are those things that will determine if our name remains there. My prayer is that we are all found in the book of life. This is the beginning of forever. Death has been cast into the lake of fire. No longer is there a time to die. In a world without death, there is no meaning of time. This new world is a time beyond time. This new world has no more of those souls that cause confusion or harm or pain. They have all been cast into the lake of fire. The accuser, Hasatan, that old devil, has been cast into the lake of fire. What a wonderful world this will be. And we get to see the way things were to have been from the beginning. Revelation 21, starting at verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I saw John, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from Elohim out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of Elohim is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. And Elohim Himself shall be with them and be their Elohim. And Elohim shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away." And He that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Aleph and Tau, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his Elohim, and he shall be my son. Our Father will provide a new beginning, a way to the future that was only to have been from the past. No more remembrance of those old things, only great new events in a new world with our renewed family. Let's continue reading in Revelation from verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the set apart Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from Elohim, having the glory of Elohim. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the 12 gates angels and names were written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of Bnei Israel, the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the apostles, the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth, and he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. Let me stop right here for a second. How big is this city? How big is a furlong? I did some math. 12,000 furlongs is 1,500 miles. So this new Jerusalem that's coming down from the dwelling place of Elohim is 1,500 miles square at the base. Let's see, what's 1,500 miles away from here? Maine. So one wall goes from here to Maine. That's a big city. And the walls were 144 cubits thick, which is 66 feet. That's a pretty thick wall. Well, back to the size of the city. We're going from here to Maine to where? Bermuda. And you know, this is a huge city. But it also says it's 1,500 miles tall. It's in three dimensions. You know how thick our atmosphere is? The atmosphere is kind of weird to talk about because it's made out of gas. So gases fluctuate and move. And the most of our atmosphere that we're concerned about is about 10 miles thick. If you consider all of the different spheric levels, and you can go anywhere from maybe 300 miles to about 700 miles thick. That's our atmosphere. Scripture says that this city is going to have walls 1,500 miles high. It's going to extend into outer space. And there's a light there that goes all the time. This will be a beacon to the universe. That's kind of humbling. I'll continue reading here. And the building of the wall of it was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. You know, I've always had troubles with that. If we had clear glass that was gold, you know, because you think of gold, you think of this solid object. But I found out some years ago that the visors on the spacesuits that the astronauts wear, they're covered with pure gold. So it will reflect the sun perfectly, but they can see through it. So it's like glass. Just throwing that out there for you. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all the manners of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, and the tenth chrysoprasus. I'm going to get through these names. The 11th was jacinth, and the 12th was amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every gate was one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the sovereign Yahweh and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the Shekinah of Elohim did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall be no wise enter it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Well, we can continue speculating about the nature of the new world. We can imagine what it will be like. I know I have a vivid imagination, and I don't think I'm even doing it justice, because the new world is going to be, I'll just leave it at that. I know it will be perfect, because the Father and the Son are there to commune with us, to comfort us for all time. This indeed is a time beyond time. Hallelujah.